You're listening to an audio sermon from Harvest Church in Huntsville, Ontario. Harvest Church is a community that exists to love God, love people, and make disciples of Jesus Christ for the glory of God. For more information about our church, visit us online at myharvestchurch.ca.
Hey, as offerings being taken up, just one quick announcement for y'all that tonight is one of our monthly prayer meetings, and this one is a prayer meeting and members meeting. So if you're a member of the church, this is for you, that you would come out as a member of the church because we have some things we want to lay before you as the church. It's going to be a bit of an odd meeting because there's going to be both this at the same time. There's going to be this joy and hard things, right? There's going to be some celebration as we look at what God's been doing and just some hard things as we see. If you get our e-newsletter, you see where our finances are at. And so we're going to talk a bit about what that looks like for us as a church and some moves that we're going to have to likely make as we move into this next quarter as a church. So make tonight, if you're a member of the church, make tonight a priority to be there, members, for a members meeting and prayer meeting tonight. All right, it is at 6:30, and we hope it will only be an hour and a little bit, all right, of meeting and of praying. All right, hey, why don't you go ahead and grab your Bibles and turn to the book of John. John chapter 21. John chapter 21. We are coming to the end of this series. If you don't have a Bible on you this morning, hopefully there's a Bible in the chair in front of you. You can grab that. There's a table of contents in there if you're not familiar with God's Word. And look for John. Go to John. Go to the very last part of it, the last chapter of John, John 21. And God has been at work as we've been in this study of John. It's been 7 months, can you believe it? 7 months in this book, walking through John's eyewitness account of the life of Christ. And through these 7 months, what have we seen God do? We've seen people who did not know Jesus come, be introduced to Jesus, give their lives to Christ, to follow him. We've seen our life groups growing in just their understanding of Scripture, but even more than that, being strengthened in their walk with Jesus. In John, I feel like our affections have been stirred up, that I've heard a number of people say that they've just gotten to know the heart of Jesus more. They've grown a deeper love for their Savior. And God's been at work in this series as we walk through John's eyewitness account verse by verse. And this morning, we wrap it all up. But as we wrap it up, here's my hope for us as a church. This series, that it would increase, that it has increased our desire to know Jesus, that we're desiring to have more growth, more discipleship, and this, that as we wrap it up, that doesn't end. That the journey we're on, seeking more of Jesus, that we're growing and changing to become more like Christ, that we'd be able to say, I'm not the same person I was 7 months ago when we started this study. I mean, that's the whole deal of following Jesus, is it not? That we would be growing and changing as we know him more. And there'll be dips and falls in that journey. There'll be areas where the growth stops, the growth slows down a little bit, where we have struggles, where we don't live like we're called to as disciples of Jesus. But the overall trajectory of our life as a Christ follower should be a life that is growing deeper and deeper in this relationship with Christ. And so, because of that, growing more and more like Jesus. That we live like Jesus. Now I used to think of to be like Jesus, like we're called to in Scripture. It's a bit like those remember those Nike commercials back like in the 80s and 90s? Be like Mike. If you're old enough, remember those? Like when I was in high school, I remember those Be Like Mike. And it was this whole idea of, hey, try to be more like Michael Jordan. I'm like, really? Really? Like be like Michael Jordan? Now we tried. I don't know about you, if you were at the age where Michael Jordan was kind of like your hero and you're a basketball player, and I mean, we were like, I could barely grab the rim in high school, and I thought I was Michael Jordan, all right? I'd stick my tongue out when I went for that layup, right? No, it was awful. I was not even close to Michael Jordan, and the ask to be like Mike, it's this unattainable ask. We could fake our way. And for some people, following Jesus is like that. It's kind of this religious thing we do, right? It's this outward thing we try to put on, like wearing Air Jordans and sticking our tongue out to be more like Mike. But listen, Scripture promises us something so much more than that when we're called to follow Jesus. We're promised that our hearts actually can be changed, that God's spirit in us, and there's the difference. I can't play like Michael Jordan unless somehow, some way, his athleticism was put into me, right? But listen, when we're called in Scripture, be like Jesus, God says, I'm going to give you my spirit in you so that no matter your past circumstances, no matter your current situation, that you can actually be like Christ, not just pretend to act like him. We're promised that God's going to do that work in us, changing us more and more to be like Jesus. That's God's whole purpose for those who follow him, who put their trust in him, that we would become more like him with the help of the Spirit to grow in Christ. And it's not just this passive thing. It's not like, well, I accepted Jesus, here I am, zap me again today, make me more like Jesus. That's not it, right? There are choices we make to grow more like Christ. In fact, C.S. Lewis, he said it this way. He said, every time you make a choice, you're turning the central part of you, the part of you that chooses, into something a little different than it was before. And he says this, and taking your life as a whole with all the innumerable choices you make all life long, you're slowly turning this central thing into a heavenly creature or a hellish creature. Either a creature that is in harmony with God and with others and with itself, or else it's one that's in a state of war and hatred with God and with others and with itself. And he says, each moment we're progressing to one state or the other. Here's the way I picture it, because I like to take stuff and how do I make this more simple? Because how do I really understand that? Here's how I picture it, right? Remember when you were a kid and you go to the mall and there was the down escalator that you would run up on, right? Anybody with me on that? Some of you are still like, I still do it. Okay, you're my people, right? I love that, right? There's this thing, you're running up the down escalator because it's so fun, but if you stop, do you actually stop? No, you start to go down again when you stop, right? And that's what C.S. Lewis is saying. That's what the scripture's saying, that when you are pursuing after Christ, there is no stop position. You're either growing more and more like Christ or you're not pursuing Jesus. And guess what? You're growing more and more like the world, more and more like yourself. So here we are coming to the end of this series in John, but listen, it's not the end of our journey. Nobody in this room has arrived yet. All of us growing. There's so much more for us. And so what does it look like to really be a Christ follower? Like, what should my life look like? Shouldn't there be a marked difference in me because I am following Jesus Christ? That I would think more like Jesus? That I would love more like Jesus? That I would make decisions that match the heart and the character of Jesus, that I would do hard things for his glory and for the mission he's called me to, that my words, that my actions, that my life would look, listen, more and more like Jesus, that we're not just going through the religious motions, but we really are pursuing hearts and lives that look more like Jesus as we follow him. I mean, Peter, we've been tracking with Peter. We're going to see him again here in these last few verses. Peter, a disciple of Jesus Christ. And later on, Peter would write in 2 Peter 1:8, he would say this, if you possess these qualities, he says, in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive. He says, if you grow in your walk with Christ, if you grow in these things every day, it will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive. So as Christ followers, here's my challenge for us as we end this series. Listen, never stop growing, never stop leaning in. And this morning, we're going to see from these verses here, we're going to hopefully pull out from these verses some principles of, hey, what does it actually look like for me to create this growth, to continue in this growth, to be more like Jesus? If you have your Bibles open, go to verse 20. And it says this. Jesus just said in verse 19, follow me. And it says, Peter turned and saw the disciple whom Jesus loved following them, the one who also had leaned back against him during the supper and had said, Lord, who is it that's going to betray you? When Peter saw him, he said to Jesus, Lord, what about this man? And Jesus said to him, if it is my will that he remain until I come, what is that to you? You follow me. So the saying spread among the brothers that this disciple was not to die. Yet Jesus did not say to him that he was not to die, but if it is my will that he remain till I come, what is that to you? And here John reveals who he is as the author of this book. He says, this is the disciple who is bearing witness about these things and who has written these things that we may know that his testimony is true. Now, there are many other things that Jesus did. Were every one of them to be written, I suppose the world itself would not contain the books that would be written. And let me pray for us before we jump into this together. Let me pray. Lord God, I just thank you so much for your word. I thank you that it is powerful to change. It is has the power of your words. And so as we know you, as we follow you, as we seek you in your word, even this morning, that you would be at work making us more and more like Jesus. That's our goal. That's our hope. And so would you do that even today? Lord, where there is sin, would you reveal it? Where there is apathy, would you show it? And where there are burdens that need to be lifted, would you carry them so that we walk out of here again more and more like you, Jesus? And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, here's where we're going this morning. If you're a Christ follower, those who believe that Jesus is the Messiah, he is God the Son, that those of you who have put your hope in Jesus, we are called to continue to follow Jesus, to live like Jesus. Peter kept following. John kept following. All the disciples kept following. And the disciples from generation to generation up to where we are now, including today, are in this growing relationship of pursuing after Jesus, where sin is revealed, where necessary growth, the Spirit's pressing in, saying, hey, this isn't like Jesus, let's work on this. And it's the grace of God when that stuff's revealed to draw us to follow Jesus. So here in this text, we've got here just a few ways, a few principles of what does it look like to live like Jesus. Our first is this, if you're taking notes, I live more like Jesus as I focus on Jesus. As I focus on Jesus. Now, the key to this focus is you're focusing on Jesus. All right, so it's not a, well, my parents were good Christians, so I guess I'm okay. It's not about comparing yourself to anybody else. It's not looking anywhere, but looking to Jesus. Now, let me get this out of the way, though. I think we do live in a very individualistic culture, and so don't hear me saying this. It's only about you and Jesus alone. Christianity and scripture, it's always in the context of community. Like we do this together, right? We bear each other's burdens. We walk alongside each other. We grow together. Each of us, though, each of us pursuing, focused on Jesus. I love how A.W. Tozer gave this illustration of what unity looks like in the church, and he gave the illustration of how do you have 100 pianos all tuned the same way? You do that by having all of them tuned to the same tuning fork. And as they're all tuned to one tuning fork, they're all united together. It's not them being tuned to each other that does us. So for us, the unity that we desire as a church comes as each of us on our own, focused on following Jesus. All right, I want to make sure we get this. This isn't a, hey, go off, grab your Bible, go into the wilderness all by yourself and never talk to anybody. That's not it. It is always personal. Following Jesus is always personal, but it's always in the context of community. Now, here's what we see in the text here. So last week we saw Peter being restored by Jesus, right? He had fallen hard, denied Christ. Jesus pursues him, there to forgive and restore. And he asks him, do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? Three times. This full and complete forgiveness and restoration of Peter for the three times he denied Jesus. And then Jesus calls Peter back to ministry. He says, then feed my lambs, tend my sheep, feed my flock. And he ends with saying, follow me. So Peter is called back into ministry. He gets up to follow Jesus. And then seconds later, like I'm picturing this as you read the text from 19 to 20, verse 19 to 20, that Peter's like standing up, he's following Jesus. And all of a sudden, Peter's ADHD kicks in immediately, right? He's like, all right, I'm following you, Jesus. Hey, what about him? I mean, this is so important in our culture today. I think we probably live in the most distracted culture ever, right? Like, we can't even read anything, right? No, we don't read. We scroll. If it's too long, we're like, next. If it's more than three sentences, right? If that video is longer than 30 seconds, we're like, I don't have time for this. What's next, right? They used to say, back when I was a kid, they used to say that our attention span had been shrunk to the length of a TV sitcom. We all had like 27-minute attention spans. Now I'm just going, wait a minute, what about, like, what are Reels and TikTok and Twitter? What have they done to our attention span, right? And the problem here is not Peter's close relationship with John. It's great that he's concerned about John. It's great that he's walking with, like, these guys are tight. They had a great friendship. The problem with Peter here is his focus. And so Jesus gives this very strong response. Right, look at verse 22. Jesus said to him, "If it's my will that he remain until I come, what's that to you? You follow me." I mean, really, Jesus saying this, "Hey, Peter, mind your own business. Peter, you follow me." Now remember, just in verse 19, he had said, "Follow me." Now he adds in the word "you." Peter, you're so distracted. Stop being distracted. Peter, you follow me. He goes, what I'm going to do in John's life, Jesus is like, that's my call. I'm going to make that call. It's not your focus. Keep your eyes here, Peter. Follow me. I mean, how often do we do that? How often do you catch yourself playing that comparison game? God, they seem to have everything going right for them. I'm left here suffering. What's going on? And Jesus says gently but firmly, follow me. To be a disciple growing more and more like Jesus is a disciple with this purposed, intentional, personal focus on Jesus. And how often we're slowed or stopped in our growth. Why? Because we're looking around at other things or other people so much. And we're around other disciples, we're near other disciples, but we're not actually a disciple ourselves. Growth in Christ, to be more like Christ, will always come in this context of our personal focus, our personal pursuit of Christ inside the community of faith we live. I love how right away John's writing this letter in the first century, okay, that the church had just been birthed, and already there's theology that needs correcting. I love that. Look at verse 23, right? The saying spread amongst the brothers that this disciple, John, was not to die. Yet Jesus did not say that he was not to die, but if it's his will, then you remain until he comes. What is that to you? And so there's this thing going on in the early church where they thought, okay, Jesus comes back before John dies. Now imagine you're going to the church in Ephesus that John's a part of, all right? And he's pastoring that church, and he gets up to preach one more time, and he's getting up. He's an old man. You're like, is John looking old today? He's looking very old. And then John kind of coughs a bit. You're like, oh, no, he's coughing. He's probably sick. And that early church, they're on Facebook going, John's sick and dying. Get ready. This is it. Jesus is coming back. All right? Like that John thing was, right? It's there. There's a total eclipse. You know this is it, right? Did we not just go through that? Yeah, but the pathway over America made this mark look like whatever. Like we get caught up in the same thing, do we not? Here they are in the first century doing it all there too. Unpacking Revelation this fall is going to be so good, isn't it? It's going to be great. I can't wait. All right. So John clears this up. He's saying, guys, Jesus never said that. John did die. John died at the end of the first century. The point Jesus was making here was, hey, Peter, what's that to you? Mind your own discipleship business. Get your focus on me, Peter. Community is important. Like we dig in worship together. We dig into the word together. We grow together. We care for each other. We carry burdens together. But in that, listen, there needs to be this increasing focus on your own walk with Jesus, because nobody can grow for you as a disciple of Christ. You follow Jesus. And the more you follow Jesus, the more you imitate Jesus, the more you listen to Jesus, the more you obey and submit, the more you humbly come in repentance where your life is not living like Christ, your life will look more and more like Jesus. So Christ follower here this morning, does your life look like Jesus? Does the way you speak, would it remind people of Jesus? The way you act, does it look more and more like Jesus? Maybe even right now you take a moment to ask yourself, am I actually focused on Jesus? Am I growing to love like Jesus loves, where I'm really caring for people? I'm not dividing, but I'm seeking to pursue love and forgiveness and reconciliation because that's what Jesus has called me to, where I'm loving the lost and the broken, where I'm loving those who I come and worship with, where I'm speaking like Jesus with integrity and honesty. I'm not gossiping. I'm not backbiting. I'm seeking Jesus. I'm loving Jesus. Listen, as we do that, as we pursue Christ, let's just look and see with our eyes on Jesus and see what the Spirit of God does in our lives. You see, for Peter, it changed everything. You see him in the book of Acts and the boldness he has. You read 1 and 2 Peter. These are letters that Peter wrote to the churches. And you read those and you're like, man, this is not the same Peter from the Gospel of John. He was changed. Why? Focused on Jesus, following Jesus. And there's so much freedom in this to not have to look and see what others are doing. When you see people more gifted than you are, when you see people smarter than you, maybe accomplishing more things, and Jesus will say to you, but it's a freedom in this when he goes, what's that have to do with you? I'm calling you to follow me. That he's not judging you by somebody else's walk with Jesus, but he's got a work for you to do. Scripture says that he's got a work for you that he's prepared before time began. And for us, all we need to do is tuck closely in behind Jesus, follow after him, and the work he's called us to, he will, by his grace, complete the work he began. You'd hear him say this, you follow me. I live more like Jesus as I focus on Jesus. Here's the second point for this morning. I live more like Jesus as I get into his word. As I get into his word. Here in John, it's in verse 24, where John says, this is a disciple who is bearing witness about these things and who has written these things, and we know that his testimony is true. He's saying, listen, I saw with my own eyes. Others did too. And you know these people and you know me and you know this is true, that this testimony is true. What's John talking about? He's talking about that this word that I've written is not just my word, but it's the word of God for you. I mean, this is basic Christianity, but how easily we drift from these basics of getting into the word. You and I will grow more like Jesus this week as we get into his word, as God's word becomes the foundation for our lives. That this week, when things come at you this week, that you'd be living under the authority of God's word. You'd be filled with God's word. You'd be grounded in God's word. You'd be more concerned with, what does God say about this? I mean, let's have our lives anchored here. That some of you right now, you're in storms right now and life is hard. Listen, keep your life anchored in the person and the words and the works of Jesus Christ. Be grounded, be growing in God's word. It's the lamp to our feet. It's the light to our path. It's the living and active, sharper than any sword, that's cutting down to the very intentions of our heart to bring change to our lives. What does it mean to be a Christ follower? It's learning and growing and living under the word of God. It's getting up in the morning and not grabbing your phone right away, but instead grabbing God's word. Being immersed in the promises of God, in the words of God, in the revelation of God, in the commandments of God, in the gospel of God, in the truth of God. It's all here in God's word. All scripture breathed out by God that's profitable for teaching and for reproof. Listen, I don't know about you, but I need to be taught some things. I don't know about you, but I need some reproof. I need correction in my life to be trained in righteousness, God's word says. The Bible does that work. The more we're in the word, the more we let God's word speak into our lives, not us speaking to it, but it's speaking to us, the more we grow to be like Jesus. So let's get into the word. Let's fill our minds, let's fill our hearts with the word. Let's stay in it long enough, praying through it, meditating on it to allow God's word to change us. I heard one pastor talk about being God's word. He calls it marinate in God's word, to marinate in it. Right? You know what that is, right? It's not just put the meat on the barbecue, put the meat on the barbecue and just splash some barbecue sauce on it. That's good, let's go. No, it's taking that meat that has been marinating overnight in the fridge. And then putting on the smoker, low and slow, and just letting that flavor, right? Anybody want to go to lunch right now? Me too, all right? Does that make sense though, right? That we would marinate in the word that way, that we would read it, we would soak in it, we would study it, we would listen to it, we would meditate on it, we'd let the word go with us to our work, to our school, because we've soaked in it, it's changing us, that it's shaping how we parent, it's shaping how we do life in our marriages, it's shaping how we are as a student at school, as an employer, as an employee at work, as a boss at work. we marinate in it. We take the time to memorize it. Maybe you grew up in church, right? And you've got those verses still in your head that you learned in Sunday school or at Awana. And if you're like me, you grew up in my generation, I still got these and thous and thys stuck in there, right? I memorized in the King James so they come out every once in a while. That your word that I've hid in my heart that I might not sin against you. Like, keep God's word in your heart. That when that trial comes, when that struggle comes, that you'd have God's word in you. Listen, don't leave memorizing as, well, that's a kid's thing to do in Harvest Kids. I'm an adult now. No, let's keep memorizing. Why? So that God's word has that louder voice when, in our head, in our hearts, when trial comes. It's so important. I mean, I've been so changed by going through the book of John. And not just in my sermon prep. It's every Tuesday night as I gather in the life group that I go to. And just so, I can't wait for like Tuesday nights. And I'm like, it's Tuesday, we get to do this again. And we study this together and hearing other people speak to what God's doing in their life through it. And we're challenged and we're encouraged. So listen, let's live in and under God's word together. Let's share God's word with each other. There's so many other pithy sayings we can get. We can find so many other quotes. And yet, just this week, I was wrestling hard with something. And anybody could come and say something to me, but it was a brother who came and brought God's word to it. Said, hey, this is what God's word says about that. And my heart, immediately from there, is like, okay, I can go a different way now. It brings change. It brings truth. It gives life. This week, get into the word of God and see how it grows you to be more like Jesus. All right, lastly, here's the final principle. We focus on Jesus. We live in the word. And here's the last thing. We seek God's glory. If I want to be more like Jesus and live like Jesus, I seek his glory. I mean, I love how John ends this book. Look what he says in verse 25. He says, now there are many other things that Jesus did with every one of them to be written. I suppose the world itself could not contain the books that would be written. He's like at the end and he's writing this and he's like, man, am I done? Like I've got so much more I could put into this. I don't actually want to finish this, but I guess this is it. I got to end it here. And he's like, man, every library in every town and every city and every country in the world couldn't contain all the words and works and glory of Jesus Christ. He's like, there's so much more I could write about. There's so many more things Jesus did. There's so many more things that he said and he taught. There's so much more about the power and the beauty and the majesty and the glory of Jesus. So much more I could have written about the proof of his messianic reality that he is Christ, God the Son, that he came to save sinners forever. Listen, the glory of Jesus Christ, it is a never-ending, never-exhausting testimony of amazing. And the more we consider the glory of Christ, the more we fixate our attention on him, the more we grow as followers in Jesus Christ, the more we grow like Jesus. Now, seeing his glory, it comes from what we've just talked about. It comes with having a focus on Jesus. It comes from being immersed in his word. Everything we need to see the glory of Jesus has been revealed to us. It's right here in God's word. From cover to cover, revealing the glory of Jesus. It's the Old Testament where there's this anticipation, every story pointing to the coming Messiah, coming to Jesus. Then you get to the Gospels and we have this announcement of unbelievable joy and immense glory. And we see the announcement of his coming and then his accomplishment through a perfect life lived that we couldn't live. His substitutionary death on the cross, dying for us instead of us. We read about the empty tomb. We're showing his total victory over sin and death. And then his spirit comes and a new covenant is ushered in. The church is born, gathered from every tongue and tribe and nation. And all of that because of the glory of Jesus Christ. Everything we need to know, everything we need to be overwhelmed by his glory is found right here. And I mean, this is God's grace to us. That's not all. His glory continues to be revealed. That Jesus is still at work today. His glory revealed as we gather to worship. His glory revealed in answered prayers. His glory revealed in changed lives. His glory revealed in your very life. That Jesus is at work today. It's a good spot for an amen if you do amens ever. All right? Here's the thing. Are you focused on him? I remember working at a summer camp when I was a teenager, and I was teaching archery, and with a bunch of junior high boys, targets can only keep your attention for so long. Yay, I hit red. Like, there's just nothing exciting about that, right? Instead of blue, right? And so what I thought was, I'm like, hey, I'm going to make this more exciting. And so I had those plastic flamingos, right? So I thought, I'll just get that, and I set that on the target for them to aim at and hit. And, like, yeah, I mean, boys love to kill things, right? So even fake plastic bright pink things. Like, this is awesome. And archery became so much better. And I would set up pop cans that were full of pops. So when they hit them, they would do that. And then we found stuffies in the lost and found, right? Some poor little eight-year-old who left their stuffy behind. We filled it full of arrows. And for those who work at camps right now and you're wondering, yes, I did get in trouble for this, all right? I was reprimanded for it. But there was one day as we're there, and I heard a yell from outside of the archery range. Hey! And I look over, and there's this kid facing in the wrong direction with his bow released. And this huge grin on his face. And he's like, I hit the can! I'm like, what can are you talking about? Where were you aiming? It's like, there's a can on the hill over there. And I hit it. And just then, this counselor walks down with an arrow through a can. And he's going, what is going on here? That could have killed me. I'm like, awesome shot. wrong target. And my fear is that so many Christ followers that we're aiming at the wrong target. I mean, where are you aiming? What's your focus? Where are you fixated? What's the foundation of your life? What are you looking at? There's so many things to distract us. The world tells us to look at ourselves, that we're the most important. And so we can have our eyes off of Christ, begin to seek ourselves. There's so many other distractions we can go after. What are you looking at? I mean, John here says, if everything were written about the glory of Christ, the world couldn't hold the books. Let's look there. Let's focus there. Colossians 3:2 says, set your minds on things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of the Father. 2 Corinthians 3:18 says that as we behold the glory of Christ, we're being changed from glory to glory. Now, so let me ask you this. If you're not a Christ follower yet, the question I want to ask you this, do you believe? Do you believe? That's where it begins, to follow Christ, to believe that his life and death counted for you, to believe that you can put the trust of your whole life on him as you pursue him and know that he'll be at work changing you from one degree of glory to the next. Do you believe? As a Christ follower, where are you focused? Are you following Christ alone? Are you digging into his word? Are you seeking his glory? Are you pursuing hard after him? Listen, as the worship team comes up, as we end off this morning, we're going to grow more and more like Jesus as we focus more on Jesus, as we fixate on him. And so again, as we finish the book of John, we're not done yet. We haven't arrived, right? We're not finished. We need to continue to follow after Jesus. And as we follow him, listen, our lives will be changed. As we personally focus on Jesus, as we ground ourselves in God's word, as we seek to live for his glory, everything changes. Your parenting changes as you follow Jesus. The more and more you're like Jesus, listen, your marriage changes. As a student, your friendships will change with that pursuit of Christ. That I get it, like school is so full of gossip and backbiting and cliques. Follow Jesus and be different in your school. I pray for this, for us as a church, that there would be more focus on our walk with Jesus, that there would be more of us just learning what it is to be grounded deeply in his word, that more of us would be seeking after what does it look like to live more for the glory of Christ over everything else. And I'm telling you, every aspect of your life will be changed as we live on mission, to give, to go, to serve. Until we see him face to face, listen, until you're in heaven, the reason you're still here is because Christ says, follow me. And a life built on him changes everything. Let me pray. Lord Jesus, I pray that we would listen to your call, that we would follow you, that you would draw our hearts and our minds to be focused on you and you alone, to dig deeply into your word. Not just for us to learn more about your word, but for us to learn more about you. Not for us just to get into your word, but that your word would get into us, our hearts and our lives fixated on you, Lord Jesus, on your glory. Knowing that that this is the firm foundation we can build our lives on, trusting in you alone. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Would you stand with me as we sing?